Good morning. If you would like to turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll begin there in our lesson here this morning, 2 Peter chapter 1. With this being the fifth Sunday and having our fifth Sunday singing this afternoon, I thought it would be a good time to have a lesson that brings to our attention some of the words that we sing in the songs in our hymnals. The title of the lesson is based off of Song 392 in our hymnals, Count Your Blessings. And as we look at some blessings that God speaks about in His Word here this morning, we'll notice some things that are said in some of the songs that we sing that beautifully express what God teaches about these various blessings through His Word. The song Count Your Blessings is a song that is an encouragement to us at any time, but especially when we're going through difficulties. This song reminds us to consider the wonderful blessings that we have available from God that far outweigh any temporary hardships that we face as we're here on this earth. And we'll look at some specific blessings that God identifies in His Word here this morning that we should be continuously thinking about and be thankful for, having that proper gratitude for God that we should have. And so, for instance, one of the specific blessings that God shows us through His Word is available, and it's available to everyone, but only some individuals accept and receive this blessing, is God's guidance. In 2 Peter, the first chapter, in verse 3, the inspired apostle there mentions that God's divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and virtue. And that's really an amazing thing to stop and think about as we consider God as our Creator. He could have simply left us on our own to figure out by ourselves how we should live, what life is about. But God has chosen to reveal to us things about Himself, things about this world, things about us, how we came to be, and things about how we need to live in order to receive an eternal home in heaven. And this guidance is provided for us through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and virtue. We learn about God, and we learn about His will for us through His inspired Word. And it's amazing that we have this Word available to us when we just stop and consider that what we have in our hands when we hold a Bible in our hands is a revelation from the Creator of this world. That really is an amazing thing to stop and consider, and that's a blessing that we should be appreciative of. And there's a lot of songs in our hymnals that remind us of this blessing of having God's guidance available to us. But one of those songs is Song 407 in Hymns for Worship. It's the song, He Leadeth Me. And I'm just going to read the first few words there of the first verse of that song, He Leadeth Me. It says, He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. And that really is amazing as we consider just how lost we would be without guidance from God, without guidance from a shepherd. We would be sheep who are lost, but God has given us the guidance that we need in order to understand how we should live, and that's a blessing that we should be appreciative of. But another blessing that we see taught through God's Word that we should be appreciative of is the blessing of God's love. And one of the verses that brings out the greatness of God's love is Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. In Romans chapter 5 and in verse 8, there the inspired apostle says that God commends His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So as we think about the picture that's given for us there in that verse, we, as the creation, have mistreated our Creator by sinning against Him. And the Creator had every right to sentence mankind to eternal condemnation immediately because of sin. But God chose to, instead of inflicting punishment immediately upon those who disobeyed him, he chose to send his son to die in order to make a path for mankind to have the chance to be forgiven and accepted by him. That really is an amazing thing to consider. Not only that Christ died for us, Christ being sinless, us being sinners, but also to consider that the one we have sinned against is God, and yet God was still willing to send his son to die for us. And we have a lot of songs in our hymnals that remind us of the greatness of God's love, but one of those songs is number 612 in Hymns for Worship. The song is called Love Lifted Me. And I'm going to read the first verse and the chorus here of this song, Love Lifted Me, song 612. It says there, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. And it certainly is true that without God's love, we would be lost forever. We would be perishing. We would have no hope of being rescued if it weren't for the love of God that's been extended through Jesus Christ. And something that's related to this point, but a slightly different angle, if you will, of looking at what God's done for us through Jesus, is to consider the blessing of His grace. When we consider God's grace, one of the key points that we emphasize, and rightfully so, is the fact that the salvation God offers to us is unmerited. It's not something that we deserve. We see this brought out in passages like Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, there the inspired apostle says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, that no one would boast." And so those individuals who have submitted to the Lord's terms for salvation have obeyed Him, and without obeying Him, we cannot receive that salvation. But even in obeying Him, that doesn't mean we earn salvation. It doesn't mean we merit salvation. We still need the grace of God. We would be lost if it weren't for God and what He's done for us through Jesus Christ. And so certainly salvation requires something of us, but it's something that we would not have any hope of if it wasn't for what God has offered us through Jesus Christ. And one song in our hymnals that brings to mind this grace of God is song 474 in Hymns for Worship. The song is Grace Greater Than Our Sin. Song 474, Grace Greater Than Our Sin. And I'm going to read verse 2 of this song, Grace Greater Than Our Sin. It says, "Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide, whiter than snow you may be today." So it talks there about the darkness of sin, and the question is asked, what can avail to wash it away? And if God had not done His part, the answer would be nothing. There's nothing that we could do by ourselves to receive salvation had God not offered this to us through Jesus, His Son. But we see that because of God and because of His grace, we can be whiter than snow and have that dark stain of sin removed from our lives. And so certainly we want to appreciate the fact that the salvation God offers us is through His grace. But the way that God has extended His grace to us and has offered salvation to us is through His Son, Jesus Christ. And I want to point out some specific aspects of Jesus' ministry that we have reason to be thankful for. One point that we might make about Jesus that we have reason to be thankful for is, first of all, just thinking about Jesus' descension. In other words, Jesus, God the Son, choosing to leave his home in heaven and come to this earth and take upon himself the form of a man. We see over in Philippians chapter 2 something said about this there in that chapter as the inspired apostle there was instructing the Christians he was writing to develop that selflessness and that humility that we need to have to be treating one another the way that we should. He points out that this mindset that we should have was also in Christ Jesus. Jesus gave us that example of how to be selfless and humble. And the example is given there of Jesus and what specifically he did. It mentions his death in verse 8, but before mentioning his death, there's some other things that are referenced there. It says, who existing in the form of God, counted not the being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men. And so as we just stop and consider the fact that Jesus had a home in heaven and gave up that home in heaven in order to come to earth and give us the chance to have what he already had, it's an amazing blessing that we should be appreciative of. He could have just determined, I'm not going to leave, I'm not going to do that for them, but he decided to humble himself to the point of walking among his creation as a man himself, taking upon himself the form of a man. And that's a wonderful blessing we should be appreciative of. And we should be appreciative of that perfect life that he lived as he came to this earth as well. But one song that brings to remembrance this descension of Jesus from heaven to this earth, it's descension of our Savior from heaven to this earth. And when he came to this earth, really, that's when he was given the name Jesus. But this point of God the Son coming to this earth is brought out in Psalm 166 in Hymns for Worship. It's the song, He Loved Me So. Song 166, He Loved Me So. And I'll just read the first verse of this song and the chorus. It says, why did my Savior come to earth and to the humble go? Why did he choose a lowly birth? Because he loved me so. And then it says, he loved me so, he loved me so. He gave his precious life for me because he loved me so. So the first verse there references the fact that our Savior came to earth. He chose a lowly birth as deity, as a creator. He chose to take upon himself the form of a man and be born as really a baby and as a human. And that's something that we should be appreciative of. But the verse goes on to also reference the maybe perhaps greatest or at least the most well-known example of Jesus' humility and obedience. And that is the point at which Jesus decided to go to the cross and die for us to give us the chance to be saved. And that leads us into our next blessing that we should be appreciative of is the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Over in John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18, in John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18, Jesus there was speaking towards the end of this passage where he was talking about being the good shepherd and the door to the sheepfold. And he sort of draws this section to a conclusion in verses 17 and 18 by saying, therefore the Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it away from me, but I lay it down by myself. I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it again. I received this commandment from my Father. So you see there in those verses the willingness of Jesus to die on the cross brought out. Those who put him to death were certainly guilty of crucifying the Son of God, but from Jesus' standpoint, this is something that he went through with willingly. Jesus had the power. He was far more powerful than those who put him to death. He had the power. If he had so chosen, he could have chosen to avoid this death on the cross, but he was willing to go through with this in order that we might have the opportunity to be saved. And there's a bunch of songs in our songbooks that relate to the crucifixion of Jesus and help us to appreciate this. But one of the songs that really brings out the beauty of what Jesus did, not only in his death on the cross, but leading up to it in the perfect life he lived and the sorrows he faced on this earth, is Psalm 156 in Hymns for Worship. The song is Tell Me the Story of Jesus. And I'll read verse 2 here, as this verse doesn't primarily relate to the crucifixion, but it does relate to his life on earth and his sufferings that he faced. And then I'll read the first line in verse 3 as well, which references his crucifixion. It says there in verse 2, "Fasting alone in the desert, tell of the days that are past, how for our sins he was tempted, yet was triumphant at last. Tell of the years of his labor, tell of the sorrow he bore. He was despised and afflicted, homeless, rejected, and poor." And then the beginning of verse 3 says, "Tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain." And Jesus certainly was suffering a lot of pain in the time leading up to his crucifixion and including his crucifixion. And we see from passages like John 10, 17, and 18 that he endured all of this in order that his sheep might have the opportunity to be saved and be rescued, and showed us what being a good shepherd is all about and showed us what love is all about. But just as we have great reason to be thankful for the crucifixion of Jesus, we likewise have great reason to be thankful for his resurrection. Over in Revelation 1, 17 and 18, we see a passage there that emphasizes the meaning for us when we stop and consider Jesus being raised from the dead. Revelation 1, verses 17 and 18. The Apostle John there was speaking, and he said, "When I saw him," referring to Christ, "I fell at his feet as one dead." And Jesus then laid his right hand on John, and he said, "Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of Hades." Here in the book of Revelation, the Christians being addressed were facing intense persecution. John himself, it appears, was facing intense persecution. And early on in this book, Jesus introduces a key theme of this book when he says, "Fear not." Fear not, he says, trust in me and recognize that I'm far more powerful than all those who are persecuting you. And in emphasizing this, he points out that he was dead, and he says, "Behold, I am alive forevermore," referencing his resurrection. And he gives us an application there of his resurrection at the end of verse 18 when he says, "I have the keys of death and of Hades." In other words, because Jesus has been raised from the dead, he has the power, he's proven he has the power to raise us from the dead. And so no matter how hard of persecution we face, we can trust in Jesus, recognizing that he is far more powerful than those persecuting us. Some in the first century, at the time John was writing, were facing persecution, it appears, even to the point of dying for their faith. And Jesus pointed out, "You just focus on me, fear not," recognizing I've got the power to raise you from the dead. Jesus, as the King of all kings and Lord of all lords, is one who we can put our hope and trust in, and resurrection helps us to see that. One of the songs in our hymnals that helps us to appreciate the resurrection is Psalm 174 in Hymns for Worship. It's "Christ Arose." And it points out there, first of all, in the second verse of the song, it references his burial and what his enemy's perspective was at the time of his burial. It says there in the second verse, "Vainly they watch his bed, Jesus my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus my Lord." And you remember when Jesus was buried, there was extra security sent to his tomb to make sure that his disciples didn't steal the body. And yet we see that these individuals who thought they had this power to stop Jesus from having his body taken from there, they did have the power to stop the disciples from from stealing the body, but they didn't have the power to stop Jesus from being raised from the dead. We see in verse 3 of the song, death cannot keep his prey. Jesus, my Savior, he tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord. And that should help to encourage us as we think about his power in being raised from the dead. That's something we should certainly be appreciative of, being thankful for the fact that that resurrection happened and for everything that that means for us. That as we think about Jesus's work as a whole, in particular through his death, but really just through all of the work that he accomplished through his earthly ministry, I want to notice some specific blessings that come as a result of what Jesus has done for us. These are blessings available to all and blessings that are accepted by those who are the faithful in Christ Jesus. And one of them is this blessing of the remission of our sins. Over in Matthew chapter 26, as Jesus there was instituting the Lord's Supper, as he was encouraging the disciples to remember his death in this observance of the Lord's Supper, pointing out that the bread that we partake of represents his body, and the cup or the fruit of the vine represents his blood. Notice what he says here about this blood that was poured out in Matthew 26 and verse 28. He says, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the remission of sins." And when we think about the phrase remission of sins, that implies that we can have our record wiped clean. We can have a fresh start. There's probably many of us who have struggled at times with past mistakes that we've made in our lives, and we might be, if we're not careful, we can be drowned in sorrow over past mistakes that we have made. And yet God shows us through his word, we can have our record wiped clean. We can have our sins remitted. God will remove them from our record, not remember them anymore. We might still remember them in a way that helps us to be humble and be appreciative of being forgiven of those things, but we don't have to have that guilt constantly weighing upon us over past sins, because God offers us the remission of those sins. And one song that brings this out in our hymnals that I want to turn and look at is song 269 in Hymns for Worship. Song 269 in Hymns for Worship, Nothing But the Blood. There, I'm going to read verse 1 and the chorus here of this song. Verse 1 says, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus." So he points out there that through the blood of Jesus, we can have our sins washed away. Through the blood of Jesus, we can be whole again. We can be rescued from our perishing state. We can be healed from our state of injury. We can be brought to life out of our state of spiritual death. All of this is possible through the blood of Jesus. We can have our sins forgiven. We can have our sins remitted and no longer held against us. And something that is related to this but a little bit different point that I want to zero in on is this blessing that we have available through Jesus of redemption from sin. And redemption and remission are related, but they are looking at this concept from a slightly different angle. Notice over in Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. Romans chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. The point is made there in verse 23 that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But verse 24 goes on to say, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And so we recognize that all of us who've reached that age of accountability have sinned, but yet verse 24 says we can be justified. We can be pronounced not guilty, having a clean record before God. That gets to this point of remission of sins, and this is something that God offers freely by his grace. It's undeserved, it's unmerited, and notice it says through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. When we think about redemption, this is the idea of having the ransom price paid to release us from the bondage of sin. When we sin, we become slaves to sin. We are brought under the bondage of sin. And Jesus was the only one who could pay the ransom price to release us from that bondage. God doesn't teach through His Word that He is simply going to count up the number of good deeds we've done and the number of evil deeds we've done, and as long as there's more good than evil, then we'll earn salvation. Instead, God shows us through His Word that every sin, even just one sin, earns us eternal condemnation, and therefore we are brought into the bondage of sin, and we are not able to pay the debt to be released from that bondage. But when Jesus died on the cross, He paid that debt that we cannot pay to make it possible for us to be freed from sin and for us to be purchased by God and be brought into fellowship with Him. And one song that brings this out in our hymnals is song 398 in Hymns for Worship. Song 398. And I'll read here the first verse of this song. 398, and then I'll also note, I'll go ahead and read the chorus as well. 398, the first verse in the chorus of this song, says, I will sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross He suffered from the curse to set me free. Sing, O sing of my Redeemer, with His blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. So that death on the cross, in effect, paid the debt to set us free, as the song says, and the Bible teaches that point. And as a result of that, we can be purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. And instead of being under the bondage of sin, we can now belong to God. And that leads us into our next blessing that we want to concentrate on, which is this blessing of reconciliation to God. Because the negative side, if you will, of this idea of redemption is that we are no longer under the bondage of sin. That's the negative side, is the bondage of sin that we have. We're freed from that. But now on the positive side, we're able to be brought into fellowship, back into fellowship with God as a result of what Jesus has done. Notice Romans chapter 5 and verse 10 this time. There, as it talks about the death of Jesus and the great love of God that was demonstrated through His death, verse 10 says, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we will be saved by His life. And so this verse here brings out this point of reconciliation. And what this means is, when we sin against God, our sin separates us from God. It creates a barrier, if you will, between us and God. And we would have no hope of that barrier ever being broken down. We would forever be separated from God. But Jesus, through what He's done on the cross, provides us an opportunity to be brought back into fellowship and harmony with Him. And that's something that we should be really appreciative of. We would not be in fellowship with God. We wouldn't be able to draw near to Him, be His children at all, if it weren't for what Jesus did on the cross. One song that helps to bring out this theme in our songbooks is song 125 in Hymns for Worship. And this song is called Nearer, Still Nearer. And just in the first few verses of this, it talks about our desire to be nearer to God. Nearer, still nearer, close to Thy heart. Draw me, my Savior, so precious Thou art. Fold me, O fold me, close to Thy breast. Shelter me safe in that haven of rest. Shelter me safe in that haven of rest. And as we think about this concept of drawing nearer to God, that's something not only we can do, that's something we must do. James 4:8 is one passage that points that out. But we wouldn't have the opportunity to be near to God. We wouldn't have the opportunity to be in fellowship with Him. We wouldn't be having the opportunity to be His adopted children, to be brought into His fold, to be brought into His family, if it weren't for Jesus and what he's done on the cross to provide us that opportunity of reconciliation to God, we'd forever be out of fellowship with God. We'd forever be away from his presence if it wasn't for what Jesus has done and what God's done and what the Holy Spirit's done. And we should thus be thankful and appreciative of this. But as individuals who are adopted into God's family, those who are obedient to Christ are given opportunities to serve in his family, to serve in his kingdom. And this is another point, another blessing that we should be thankful for, is this chance to serve. Recognizing just how wonderful it is to be able to serve should cause us to really be very appreciative of any and all opportunities that we have. We should be appreciative of opportunities to come together with brethren, to be able to sing songs like we can together, to be able to partake of the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, remembering Jesus' death, to be able to study together, to be able to do good for others in any capacity. It really is a wonderful blessing. And as we think about these chances to serve, we don't want to only be thinking about what many men might view as the big ways, if you will, that we can serve God and serve one another. But we want to recognize that greatness and serving in the eyes of God happens in ways that man may look at as very small, but God is pleased with. Over in Mark chapter 12, in the last four verses there of that chapter, Mark 12, the last four verses, we have the account there of the widow who cast in the two mites. It mentions in verse 41 there of Mark 12, it says, Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And verses 43 and 44 go on to say that Jesus called his disciples to himself and said, most certainly I tell you, this poor widow gave more than all those who are giving into the treasury, for they all gave out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, gave all that she had to live on. And this is just one passage among many that points out that what God sees as great service is often very different from what man sees as great service. Now, God doesn't measure great service in just in numbers. God doesn't just say, well, if you're someone who is helping to convert thousands of people like the apostles did, then you're doing a great thing for me. There are so many other things that we can do to be able to serve God, to be able to please him and bring honor to him. And we should be appreciative of all of these things. In fact, when Jesus talked about greatness, he talked about greatness as being something that is like humbling oneself as a little child. And it is a great thing in the eyes of God for us to humble himself and daily walk with him, daily do good for others, daily approach him in humble obedience and prayer and studying his word and doing good for others as we have the ability and opportunity. These are things that bring great glory to God and please him. And if we have the hearts that we should have, this is something that we're going to be very appreciative of having the opportunity to do. It will bring us great joy to please and glorify God if we really understand and appreciate this like we should. And one song in our hymnals that helps to bring out this point is song 504 in Hymns for Worship. The song is I Want to Be a Worker, song 504. I'll read just the first verse of this song and the chorus. Song 504, I Want to Be a Worker. It says, I want to be a worker for the Lord. I want to love and trust his holy word. I want to sing and pray and be busy every day in the kingdom of the Lord. I will work, I will pray in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day in the vineyard of the Lord. And what's amazing about this is every one of us not only should want that, but every one of us has the opportunity to do that. Every one of us can be working in the vineyard of the Lord. We all work in slightly different ways in terms of the specific circumstances we're in, though we are united in submitting to the Lord's instruction he gives us, but the specifics about how we carry that out may differ, but we all have the opportunity to serve God And that's a wonderful blessing and a privilege that we should be thankful for. But as we serve God and as we worship God and we strive to bring honor and glory to Him, something else that we should be appreciative of is the opportunity to do this with brothers and sisters in Christ, the opportunity to help and be helped by one another as we strive to walk with God. Over and over in the Apostle Paul's letters, he uses phrases like that in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 3, where he said, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." He was very thankful for his brethren. He was very thankful for the church and for the opportunity that he had to be able to associate with brothers and sisters in Christ and influence them for good and be influenced by them for good. And that's something we should be appreciative of as well. One song that really helps us to appreciate this in our hymnals is song 302. It's called "Blessed Be the Tie." And this whole song really gets at this point. But I'll just, for time's sake, read verses 1 and 2 of this song. Or verses 1 and 3, rather. Verses 1 and 3 of this song. Verse 1 here of song 302, "Blessed Be the Tie," says, "Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above." Verse 3 says, "We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear, and often for each other's flows the sympathizing tear." And so you see there in verse 1, this principle that I believe is echoed in Scripture, that the fellowship we have is likened to the fellowship that God the Father has with the Son and with the Spirit, and the fellowship that we can have with God and with Jesus. This fellowship that we can have with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that they have with one another, our fellowship with one another is likened to that. And that's an amazing thing to consider. It's a beautiful thing. And verse 3 points out that we can share our burdens with one another and help each other to overcome those things. And we should be appreciative of that as well. And there's a lot more we could consider, but it is certainly a blessing to consider our spiritual family in Christ. But something else that we should be appreciative of is God's care for us. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 is one verse that encourages the need for prayer. And in encouraging this, it's interesting. It says, "Casting all your anxiety upon Him." It doesn't say, "Cast your anxiety upon Him. He'll accept that. He'll allow that. He'll be okay with that." It says, "He cares for you." In other words, God wants us to cast our cares on Him. He doesn't just allow it, but He wants it. It would be a great privilege just for Him to say, "Well, I'll let you do this if you want." But He doesn't say that. He says, "I want you to do this. I care for you. I want to hear from you." And that care that God has for us is just an amazing blessing to consider. And that opportunity to go to God in prayer and to know that He does care and to know that He does help in ways that are in accordance with His wisdom is a wonderful blessing to be appreciative of. And one song that really brings out this point in our hymnals is song 466 in Hymns for Worship. The song is titled, "Does Jesus Care?" And again, the whole song really brings out this principle, but I'll just read verse 1 and we'll get the gist of what each of these verses alludes to. I'll read verse 1 and then I'll read the chorus here of song 466, "Does Jesus Care?" It says, "Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long. Oh yes, He cares, I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long night dreary, I know my Savior cares." That is such a wonderful thing to know that God, our Father, our Savior, our King of all kings, Lord of all lords, our great High Priest and Prophet, all these things that Jesus is, to know that He does care for us and God wants us to go to Him in prayer and ask for His help because He cares for us so much. And one additional blessing that we'll mention here this morning, and then we'll draw this to a close, is God's promises that He gives us, not only of how He cares for us and how He helps us as we're here on this earth, but ultimately God's promises He gives us of eternal life if we are righteous and faithful to Him. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, as Paul introduces the epistle to Titus, he mentions he's writing in hope of eternal life. And the reason that this hope is so strong and such a strong anchor in his life is because he says, God that cannot lie promised this before the world began. God is perfectly faithful. Everything God says is going to happen will happen. And God has promised that the righteous are going to receive eternal life. And so Paul says, I can have a firm and steadfast hope in that. And he's writing in that hope of eternal life. And we likewise can have that hope. We likewise can rest upon these promises that God gives to those who are faithful. He really gives these promises to everyone that he's going to do this, but those who receive the promises, those who receive that blessing he promises to the faithful, are the ones who submit to him in faith and obedience. And there's a lot of songs we could look at that relate to this wonderful blessing of heaven. But one song that I want to look at that doesn't relate to this maybe as directly as some others, but it certainly does bring this to mind, at least when I sing this, and perhaps for others as well when thinking about these words, is the song I Know Whom I Have Believed, number 350 in Hymns for Worship. Here in this song, we have a quote in the chorus from the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. He had talked about being an apostle in verse 11, and he says, it's for this reason I suffer these things, nevertheless I'm not ashamed. But he says after that, this quote that's in the chorus of this song, he says, but I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And that's a thought that we should have as well as we think about God's promises, that we can know God. We may not have had the direct revelations in the way that Paul did, where he was directly inspired by the Spirit to ensure that as he preached, he was preaching 100% infallible truth. We may not have that like Paul did, but we can know through the promises God gives us in his word that God is who he claims to be, and that he's going to fulfill all of these promises, and all of this can anchor us to live lives in faithful service to him, recognizing that we have that hope of eternal life if we are faithful. And so I hope this lesson has helped us to consider just some of these blessings that we have reason to be thankful for, not just to consider how many there are, because we haven't even gone through anywhere near all the ones that we could, but to consider the great value of them, to contrast the value of these blessings compared with the hardships that we face as we're here on this earth. What God offers us really just doesn't even compare. Paul said in Romans 8:18, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And that's certainly something that we see as we think about these blessings. And I hope that as we've looked at these, we can appreciate these things. And as maybe a secondary purpose, that maybe we'll appreciate some of the words, not only in these songs we've looked at, but others as well, that help us to see these blessings and other wonderful principles and truths that are taught through God's Word. This has been a lesson that's been intended to be an encouragement to those who are Christians as we look at these wonderful blessings and as we strive to be appreciative of them and have that gratitude that God calls us to have. But if you're here this morning and you're not yet a Christian, we'd encourage you to think about these blessings and consider that you have just as much an opportunity to receive these blessings as anybody. These blessings are available for everyone. God doesn't just pick and choose certain individuals and say, I'm going to offer you blessings, but I'm not going to offer you these spiritual blessings. He offers salvation. He offers forgiveness. He offers redemption. All these things he offers for everyone. But it's up to us to choose to receive these blessings by surrendering to him in faith and obedience. And we'd encourage you, if you're not yet a Christian and you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, you're ready to confess that belief, you're ready to give your life to him, repenting of your sins and surrendering to him, and you're ready to be buried with him in baptism for the remission of your sins, to arise to walk in newness of life, we'd love to help you with that. If you're here and you're a Christian who's struggling with something in your life that you would like to ask for the prayers of the congregation, we can help you with that as well. We've seen this morning the wonderful blessing of prayer and the wonderful blessing of being a part of God's family. And we can help one another by praying for one another. And if there's something you'd like to ask us to pray for you, we can do that as well. If you're here and you're subject to the gospel call, we'd encourage you to come forward as we stand and sing.